grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pet, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Chris, can you read with these coloured lights on? Do I need to make them a bit more stable?
Yeah, can we just get some stable?
On, eh? Fortunately, I'm in the right frame of mind.
Okay. Sorry.
Press 420.
They're still doing the kind of thing there.
Dear listeners, yes, welcome to Marijuana Media, where we have the funky studio lights going. It's quite good. It's kind of all pulsating. Fancy new band poster is like changing colours.
I know, it's so crazy, eh? How it's like fully changing colour. Man. Late night party room.
You all need to be here. Listeners, come on down. You got to experience
come
this.
Come to the hot box.
Yeah. So this week, we're going to have a grown-up conversation about codeinibus.
What is codeinibus?
Well, exactly. Stay tuned. No. rugby, racing and beer. This is the intro. Rugby, racing and beer. And, something else. So, but we'll start, with driving, which is where the codeinibus comes in. Because this is, Waka Kotahi have a campaign going. You might have seen the billboards. Maybe.
Yeah, I've definitely seen the online. Ads online.
Online,
and
there you
on
go.
TV.
Yeah. It's digital and outdoor, and it's about mixing your prescriptions, medications with other things, and mixing your other things with other things, and making everything a bit more risky.
Yes,
and which is good advice.
Yeah, totally.
Good advice. Interesting to see, but they've got this this mashup in the mixing poster of a dirty old bong, and calling it codeinibus. Your codeine bong.
Ah, right.
Which I hadn't heard of. But it doesn't exist.
What?
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, doesn't exist.
How many people even mix their like prescription medication with cannabis? Do we know that?
Well, your prescription medication might be cannabis.
True.
Well, given that, you know, if cannabis is used by sort of 1 in 10 people, then, they're on various medications at the same rate as other people. Probably.
Right.
Maybe less for certain things. Might be on lower rates, but certainly with opioids and things, often not. Lower rates, but it's good to highlight the issue, and this is where you can actually get behavioural change just by putting some posters about, and people go, oh, that's interesting, stop and think,
right?
Maybe
I am on that thing, and therefore, and we all kind of know, you know, if you have antibiotics, don't have the alcohol, and that's kind of about killing off the antibiotics, I guess.
But not
mixing. Whereas whether on more shaky grounds. In the actual Waka Kotahi page about the mixing campaign, where they talk about what it's about and all this kind of thing, they repeat this dubious claim.
Okay.
Very dubious. That between 2019 and 2020, that's what they're saying, 100 people were killed in crashes where a driver was found to have drugs in their system. And this, of course, you know, the subtleties in the language there, drugs in their system. Not actually impaired and not at cause.
Yeah.
And cannabis, for a start, as I say, if you've got sort of 1 in 10 or more people using it, then that's what you might kind of expect.
Mm.
And if you adjust for other behavioural things, then it might come out a bit more in terms of people that are out and about or driving or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But cannabis does stay in the system. And certainly this level that they're looking for, where they're actually searching for the inactive metabolite, that's what they say, the THC, or the inactive metabolite. Well, that inactive metabolite up to 3 months after last use.
Yes.
So, very dubious claim. So it's a bit disappointing that they do that, but you just don't need to when you can just say, hey, don't mix your stuff.
Is there, I guess none of us probably know the answer to this, but... Say there's a fatality at a road accident. Surely it must be, I don't know, does the body just stay in perfect condition to get a measure on like whether it's impairment or whether it's just in their system? Is there any way of accurately actually like testing for substances in someone's body once they've deceased?
Yeah, they're just going to take a blood sample and test for it. So, that would be pretty much the same, except you're... unpleasantly.
Okay, sorry, it was a bit of a down question.
Yeah, it is a bit. But where I wanted to get to, it is a nice connection there between you know, why I brought this up, well, there's a big new study that came out, state-funded, right. California State funding this study, because, of course, it's legal over in California, and they want to know, well, what the hell's going on? So University of California at San Diego looked all through the data, and what they found was that neither detection of THC or its metabolites in breath, blood, oral fluid, or the old walking straight line, none of them were accurate predictors of psychomotor performance.
Okay.
But we've kind of known this for some time, right?
Well,
because
we
there's
have,
no
yes,
accurate but test to pick out, like, oh, yeah, you've got little bits of THC in you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And different people can have different levels and be impaired to different amounts.
Yes,
and,
of course.
And that is, in fact, what the old this expert committee that they put together for our law here were tasked with setting a level that equated to impairment. And in their report, they said, well, we couldn't do it, and so let's just pick a little number, same number that Australia's got, coincidental. So yeah, so that's what we have. But on the good news front, so although all those things independently were bad predictors, and in fact half of the control group, the people that had placebo, the people that had nothing, half of them were identified as impaired by the field sobriety test, which is the cop going, walk a straight line, touch your nose, or
okay, so they're on placebo, but somehow
half of them were tagged as impaired.
It's so powerful that they feel impaired.
Well, it shows how much they can read into it,
yes,
in the situation, and it's down to their opinion and what they're just, it's just them saying.
Were they impaired in the actual results of the field sobriety test? That were they didn't pass it?
Well, it's always a cop just saying whether
yes,
you pass or not.
Okay.
That's the test.
Okay.
So, yeah,
so
that was interesting. But when you combined it with a oral fluid and a, importantly, an oral fluid, not the other ones, oral fluid and the field sobriety, then none of the controls were picked up as impaired.
Okay.
And fortunately, that's what we've got, that is our law in New Zealand. So we do count as one of the best ones, best approaches in the world if you're going to have this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But where, again, it fails is we have this arbitrary number. What they call them is a per se law in the States, where you just pick a number and go, well, that's your number.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one, which seems to be like the lowest number you can go to, apart from zero. So they just went, oh, let's do one. Other places like Colorado has 5 nanograms. We have 1. So that gets you a fine, and 3 is potential conviction, criminal record.
Mm. And as you say, you're just best to go for the fine if this is all, you know, like happening and you are getting an impairment test. You just go, hey, I'd rather have the fine than get a blood test and or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, because the problem being is the blood test might ping you for what you did yesterday. So, But yes, don't drive while you're impaired, and don't drive when you're mixing things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you really need to do. This is, I guess, my overall message is just you can do this through education, just talking to people about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily need to have these kind of crap per se laws that are going to criminalise people who aren't impaired.
Mm. Yes.
Right, so there we go. Lecture over. And let's move on to the favourite topic of parliamentarians. This was covered by Radio New Zealand. Well, their 3 favourite topics: rugby, racing, and booze. And while they never quite find the time to deal with cannabis and other drugs, they have to be dragged kicking and screaming. When it comes to the Rugby World Cup, boy, they will line up to extend drinking hours all through the nights.
Yeah. Oh,
and into neighbourhoods and communities and things that would otherwise
because
not
want. Because
it gives
them a safe place to drink.
Well, it's an interesting argument, though, isn't it?
It is an interesting
argument.
And
as Chloe Swarbrick pointed out, and bless her, it's just like we said last week, she's the only person who draws these issues together in Parliament, not just in private, and what we think they might think in private, but she's actually standing up and saying in public in these opportunities when she can.
Mm.
And that's exactly, you know, why isn't the same approach being applied to other substances?
Yep.
And she gave, for example, when we're looking at cannabis legalization and control, so specifically, you know, for exactly that same reason, having
safe spaces
for people to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to access and use and be supervised.
Right on, right on. And I can't quite remember where the racing came in, but check out, because that wasn't so relevant, but check out the Radio New Zealand story called Rugby, Racing and Booze, and you can find out, well, they did something about racing, but...
People just love saying rugby, racing and beer.
Yeah.
I think they just love it.
Do they?
Save the greyhounds.
I mean,
I'm just going to say that. I'm going to use this opportunity to say, shame on these greyhound races. And,
true.
Save the greyhounds. Right on. And speaking of grown-up conversations,
yeah,
I don't know, we weren't really, but one news headline, New Zealand needs to have a conversation about drugs. This is just like, you know,
we've
come on.
We've been having the conversation for years.
Well, we have, but this is now the grown-ups saying, come on, let's sit down and have a conversation. But it turns out to be the other way around. It's probably going to be the young people saying to the older people, we need to have a conversation. And it's going to be mature, is what they're saying. Okay. And the reason being, and this isn't specifically about cannabis, but it kind of is, it's drug policy in general, this huge spike in shipment of meth and coke and other things that have been that are coming here, and it's these organised criminal groups, OSGs, and OGCs, I should say, and they... they, you know, targeting a lucrative market here. And One News has been covering that quite a bit, which is good on them. But Drug Foundation was speaking to them, Sarah Helm, and saying, you know, and I'll just read out the quote. 1975, all those years ago, 1975, when we globally, under the leadership of Richard Nixon, decided to ban drugs, we handed them over to organized crime. And over those 50 years or so, we've been growing a Frankenstein of which we have little control. And as we get tougher on it, they get better. And she suggested that we take a look at Switzerland, where they have safe consumption spaces and prescribed availability.
Mm. Chris, we've had a text through.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to cannabis, someone is wondering, where can they get a prescription for cannabis?
Well, there's actually quite a... If you put into your search engine there, Cannabis Doctor NZ, you get a whole bunch come up. If you go to the Hemp Store website and go to our blog kind of info section, you'll find it right there. It's even on the main page, how to access medical cannabis in New Zealand. And we just have all the contact details for all of them right there to make it nice and easy and a bit of an explanation.
Here it is right here.
Yeah, there it is.
I just wanted to have a look.
And there's a bunch around. And you can, of course, any doctor can prescribe it for any reason, big or small. And you know, a lot of doctors don't have the experience or might be a bit hesitant. So if it's easier, then check out the cannabis specialist clinics. There's about 10 of them around at last count, starting to pop up around the country. But they all do, you know, over the phone, video, telemedicine type thing. And very simple. I can vouch for that myself. It's, you know, it's just like any other doctor. And but you fill out a bit of a questionnaire and then you do a video for consult for 10 or 15 minutes. And then you have access to their little dispensary shop.
Yes.
And then it's either pick it up or on the courier.
Common sort of, you know, ailments people might be seeking.
The number one is sleep, and then I think it's pain and anxiety or other mental health. But it's, say, any reason. So if you're using it for a positive reason or it's improving a life or some sort of wellness and that, then, then you'd qualify. Right, I would suggest, but I'm not a doctor. Talk to them.
Yes,
make an appointment.
Of course.
Get into it.
All right.
Yeah, but certainly I'd love it down at the shop. People all day, every day coming in, and they're either they've just been and they're so ecstatic, or getting turned on to that possibility, and literally skipping out the door on the way to their appointment. And there was a guy in there before just today. You know, he's just straight on the phone making an appointment, and off he is going. So get into it, I say.
And most of these the specialist cannabis clinics have also like a dispensary type thing, right? Most of them?
You can either take your prescription to a pharmacy of your choice and get them to fill it, but they probably won't have it in stock, so it'll be like next day or might be later that day, but that kind of thing. But the clinics usually have some form of dispensary or often, but they all operate a bit differently. They've all got a different kind of model, so you can have a look around their websites and pick the one that's good for you.
All right, Chris. Awesome. Yeah. Any hemp store news that we need to know about?
Well, let's see. So we've got substance testing is coming up. It's a few weeks away. The next first Thursday, which is Thursday 6th of July. So that'll be in the shop there. And but this weekend, not really hemp store news, but down to the old field days. You know, the farming listenership out there.
The biggest AMP show in the country.
That's
basically,
right. Oh,
basically.
Mate. And BFM has the biggest segment. Oh, I was checking out the stats. The biggest segment of the farming community.
Yeah, of course.
It's number one.
Right.
They love us.
Yep.
So at Mystery Creek this weekend, Tiger Drops will be at stall number 66 in the Rural Marquee.
Ooh.
And New Zealand Hemp Industries Association stand F81 in the organic tent.
Nice.
And they're going to be giving away hemp seed cake.
All right.
Hemp seed cake.
So if anyone goes down there and gets some hemp seed cake, let us know how it is and what the recipe is. And
say hi to Tig for us as well.
More than hemp.
Yeah. Special
hemp.
Tig, I should say.
Say hi to Tig. And hope that all goes well for everyone down there. And yeah, pop into the shop if you've got any questions about the medical scheme and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, otherwise, we'll catch you next week.
Awesome, Chris.
Cheers, mate.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.